Yes, I am the world. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Gregory Copley, who's traveling. He's in Perth, Australia, his native Perth. And he's far enough away from the action to have perspective. We'll start with Venezuela. The summary is too lengthy, Gregory. I will say that most recently the news says that Lula da Silva, the three-time elected president of Brazil, joins with the U.S. State Department, several voices, to call for new elections in Venezuela, start over again. At this point, Maduro's administration regime has rejected the call, and so has the opposition led by the nominal winner of the election, the one recognized by the U.S., Edmundo González Urrutia. So we have a standoff in Venezuela unless, what is the measure of Venezuela's success or failure on maintaining Maduro? Is it significant one way or the other? Because we know that outside actors are already operating freely in this zone. There's Havana, there's Managua, and Lula da Silva and Gustavo Petro are not hostile to Chinese, Russian, and Hezbollah efforts. So is Caracas vital for the security of the left in South America?
Pretty much. It's still exporting oil and to places like Iran, to places like China, rather, using Iranian and Dominican flagged ships. So it's critical there. It is very much a foreign territory for the United States, which, of course, has lost its mandate to control and influence the Western Hemisphere. So Maduro staying there is critical to Beijing, critical to Moscow, more critical to Beijing. It's critical to Tehran as well, because they use this as a base to influence the Americas generally. I just did a piece for one of our publications called Venezuela's Maduro, a constant in a changing world. And what I meant by that was not that he was somehow a firm and reliable, trusted figure, but that he had not changed with the changing world. When he went through his last elections against the opposition candidate who clearly won the election, he was able to ride out the fact that he stole the election from Guaido and just stay in power. And he thinks he can do this again. But the world has changed, because we're now seeing that the protesters in all countries in the world who feel disconnected with their governments is that they will not stop protesting. Now, admittedly, Maduro has caused a lot of the opposition to go away and to become exhausted. But what's amazing in the country is the strength of the current opposition and the fact that they are not about to relent against him, regardless of the fact that they haven't had much real support from abroad. So we'll see, I think, Edmundo González Urrutia will possibly gain traction. He may, as Guaido did, be named by the international community as the legal winner of the election, and therefore the legal president of the country. The question will then go as to where the armed forces of Venezuela will go, because the economy has been declining, and that means that the benefits for the armed forces have been declining as well. But we won't see, I think, any intervention in the country by the United States, which would normally have had a role there and declined to do so even under the previous election overthrow. So you've got the situation there where the Cubans have put troops in there, the Russians have put forces in there temporarily. They could be supporting Maduro's continued position, but they'll be more and more isolated.
Quickly on Nigeria, we just have a couple of minutes. Tinubu is the president. Inflation is the story. And I'm also told, speaking most recently to Plateau State, way in the east, that there's no security on the roads whatsoever, and that piracy and jihadists run rampant, especially against the Christian communities. Was it always thus, or is Tinubu losing even the little control that he had? We have a couple of minutes.
Well, no, it's not that the farmers versus the graziers. In fact, you've got the graziers who are Muslim, basically fighting the farmers, not just in Plateau State, but throughout. And that's really been bad. And it's being portrayed in the Western media as Christian versus Muslim, but it's not, because a lot of the farmers there are in these areas are Muslim, but the graziers, the nomadic graziers, are literally 99% Muslim. So it's being portrayed as a Christian versus Muslim thing, but it's about farmers versus graziers. But the real situation is that all of this has caused losses in the farming community. Over 1,356 farmers have been killed in the past 4 years, and the remainder are struggling to gain access to their farms, not just for harvesting, but also for planting. And this has been exacerbated by levies imposed by these armed groups, particularly in the north of the country. So there's very little agricultural produce being produced, and you've got a situation where the cost of a healthy diet in Nigeria is indexed, increased by 19.2%.
We have 30 seconds, Gregory.
Yeah, on a month-by-month basis from June compared to May. In other words, poor people can't buy their food, and now the cost has gone up by almost 20%. So you've got a dire situation in the country. The rebels are merging with the criminals are merging with the Islamist groups. So this is the other piece of bad news which exacerbates this situation.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,